Imagine a conversation in heaven. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in conversation with each other. And they're looking down on a world of sinners who have absolutely no hope of rescuing themselves. And the Father's compassion is shared by the Son and the Spirit. And Jesus looks down upon the earth, says to his Father, Father, whatever it takes, make me like them. And so was born a baby in Bethlehem of Judea. And the baby lay there in utter helplessness and total omnipotence, utterly helpless and dependent on Mary and Joseph for his basic infant needs like any other baby. And simultaneously upholding the universe by the word of his power. And if your brain can't process that, neither can mine. But it's true. Father, whatever it takes, make me like them. And he was made like us. The word became flesh, lived among us. And we have beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And now we have an opportunity to say to him, Father, whatever it takes, make me like Jesus. And you know, the worst possible thing that could happen to us as we contemplate this prayer, let's not minimize it. This is the biggest prayer we'll probably ever pray. It's the prayer that tops all the other prayers. But let's remember, God is for us. He is for us. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath given unto us, that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are. God is for us. Who can be against us? So when we pray this prayer, we're praying to the God who has utterly and eternally committed himself to make us like his Son. That's his plan. He has begun a good work in us. He's carrying it on. He will finish it. What is the good work? Answer. That we be conformed to the image of his Son. Now, there came a time in the experience of the children of Israel when, after 40 years of wandering in the desert, and all the first generation out of Egypt had died, except for Joshua and Caleb, that Joshua was about to take his people into the promised land. And he said to them the most astonishing thing. He said, now put away from you the gods that your fathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt. That's astonishing. You know why? Because beyond the river is a reference to the time of Abraham. It's a reference to 400 years previously, and they're still got their little bags and they're carrying around these gods from Babylon. Can you believe that? These are the people whose fathers brought them by the hand through the standing walls of the Red Sea. They saw water pour out of the bare rock. They saw the Egyptians humbled. They saw their fathers humbled before the living God of Israel. And still they're lugging around these gods who are so useful that they need someone to carry them about. If your God needs you to carry him, it's time you got rid of your God. Okay, so let's think about what this prayer entails just for a moment or two. And then let's none of us feel under pressure to pray that prayer right now. Absolutely no one is under pressure to pray this prayer. It will be the biggest prayer of your life. So when the time is right for you to pray it, then don't step back from it. But if the time is right today, then don't step back either. If you have come to Foundations and have spent this week with all of us, then you have completely and utterly forgotten what your comfort zone is. Because Foundations doesn't leave you with a comfort zone. And this prayer is way out of our comfort zone. But I learned a key yesterday, thanks to these lovely folks who get big lumps like me dancing. And dancing in a public place. I mean, really. The people in Grange have to be very forgiving, I suppose. But there I was with the team, and we were dancing in the park down in Grange, and we weren't just dancing, we were worshipping. You see, that's the thing. It's not about the dancing, it's about the worship. And I suddenly realized then that God was putting into my hands yet another key for joy and blessing. Because when we went out into the street to offer to pray with people for healing or for whatever needs they had, you know, we walked up to one girl and we said to her, there were three of us, David and Ashley and myself, and we said to this girl, how do you feel about taking pity on three guys who are completely out of their comfort zone? Here we are, we feel like three idiots walking about the town offering to pray with people as though it's the sort of thing you do every day in a town. And the girl just melted. She just laughed. And she said, my name's Hannah. I'd like, yeah, you can pray with me. But the beautiful thing is this. We have been worshiping here this morning. I don't know anywhere else on the face of the earth that I can worship like in Foundations. The Foundations, for me, is just so very special. And so here we are worshiping. And worship is the key. Because if we go on to pray this prayer, we do so in the context of worship to the God who has said, whatever it takes, I will be there for them. Can we stop short in our own prayers? Can we stop short and say, well, Father, I really want to serve you, but I've got this little room in my house, and I really need to keep it for myself. I've got this little God that I lug about in my bag, and there's so much sentiment attached to this little God, I really don't want to let it go. Is that where we're at? After a week like this, can we be economical in our prayer life? Can we be economical in saying, your will be done? Do you know what the most liberating prayer is you can ever pray? Your will be done. Because we're all slaves unless we pray that prayer. Billions around the world are constantly shaking their fist unwittingly at God and saying, my will be done. For you and me to be able to say, thy will be done, that's freedom. That's freedom. That's an end to all slavery. And that's the beginning of our worship. So, my brothers and sisters, if we can pray that prayer today, we're praying that prayer towards a God who is utterly and forever on our side. And he has proved it at Calvary. Now, my heart goes out to folks who have already prayed that prayer and lost everything. Because it's happened. It's happened to some folks. They prayed the prayer and lost everything. And I asked a precious lady the other day, now that you lost everything, do you regret having lost everything? She said, no. I said, does that mean you can pray the prayer again? She said, yes. You see, it's not a prayer for one day of our lives. This is a holy moment. But this holy moment's going to come round again and again and again throughout our lives because it's a battle. We're in warfare. It's a battle to say, whatever it takes, make me like Jesus. So let's just prayerfully bow our heads now. If you're able to pray the prayer, rejoice that you can, and pray it with every fiber of your being. And if you can't pray it, I've got another prayer for you. If you're not willing to pray it right now, if it's too big, if it's too frightening, if it's too painful, then I've got another prayer for you in the meantime to keep you going until you can pray the big prayer. And the prayer is this: Lord, make me willing to become willing. Make me willing to become willing. So I'm just going to pray the prayer aloud right now. And I'm just going to make it my prayer, brothers and sisters, and invite you to share it with me. Precious Father. Precious Father. You are our goal. Our chief end is to glorify you and to enjoy you. And most of us have grown up as Christians knowing that we should live for your glory, but very few of us have the faintest idea about how to enjoy you or that we should enjoy you. But Father, I just want to say to you, just as a born-again child, that I have been economical in my love for you. I've been reserved. I have compartments in my life. I don't want those compartments anymore. If it's true that we are temples of the Holy Spirit, Father, and it is, then the prayer is quite simply right now is, Lord, occupy the house. Not a few rooms, but the whole house. The dearest idol I have known, whate'er that idol be, help me to tear it from thy throne and worship only thee. Father, our gods are the ones we will not say no to. Father, from this moment on, my prayer is, my resolve is that I will not say no to you. I will not call you Lord and say no in the next breath. And so my prayer right now, before you and the watching angels, in this holy moment, with my brothers and sisters around me, bowed before you, I pray this prayer, Lord, whatever it takes, make me like Jesus. In his name, amen. Lord, make me like you. Please make me like you. You are a servant. Make me one too. Oh Lord, I am willing. Do what you must do to make me like you, Lord. Please make me like you. There's a beautiful story, my brothers and sisters, it's told of a visit to a goldsmith. I don't know if you know this story. This is a goldsmith who smelted gold in the old-fashioned way. No heavy industry, just a cottage industry. And he's sitting there in his house, and a Christian visitor comes along to his door and discovers this ancient method of gold smelting, and the old man has been working at it for generations before him. It's been handed down as a trade. And she watches him taking some gold and putting it into basically what looked like a curved terracotta tile, and that was the crucible. And he puts it in there, adds a few spices, some tamarind, and lights a fire under it. And the gold begins to melt, and the waste material begins to rise to the surface. The impurities begin to bubble up to the top. And he takes a stick and he skims the top, cleans the top of the gold. And someone comes to the door to speak to him. So he extinguishes the fire and goes to the door, speaks to the person, and then comes back. And she said to him, why did you extinguish the fire when you went to the door? Oh, he said, I never leave the gold unattended in the crucible. I always sit when I'm refining the gold. He shall sit as a refiner. And then she said to him, so what's the next step in the process? He said, well, I'll just start all over again. And he began the melting process. But this time she noticed that the fire was hotter, much hotter than before. And she said to him, why did you make the fire hotter this time? Oh, he said, the purer the gold is, the more heat it can take. And the more heat it needs to bring it to a greater level of purity. And so she sat there with her jaw-dropping watching this, and Isaiah's words running through her head all the time. And then she said to him, I noticed that every time you skim off the gold, you extinguish the fire and you relight it, and it's hotter each time. How many times does this process happen? Oh, he said, 7. And then she said, okay, I've got one big question. How on earth do you know when the gold is completely pure? How do you know that there aren't more impurities to come out? Oh, he said, when I can bend over the gold and look at this molten metal and see my own reflection, I know it's ready. Brothers and sisters, if you have prayed that prayer, that's your destiny. Amen. Josie.
I forgot to say earlier, I was astounded at how beautiful Happy Birthday sounded on both occasions. And just really encourage you all to really worship with song, because it was so beautiful.
Bless you. There's just one more thing that I'd like us to do that Sister brought up in the last day or so. which I think is a very, very important. Is this on? Is it on? Yeah. Very, very important thing these days in the church. Quick Greek lesson first. What is the Greek for men as in humanity, as in men and women together? Thank you. Anthropos. What is the Greek for men, just men? Close. Aner. So I will now read to you from 1 Timothy. And Paul says, I want aner everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer. I would like all the aner here to stand up. Would you? Would you lift up your holy hands? If nothing else, they have been set aside. Would you pray with me? Father, we are so sorry. We are so sorry that we, as the men of your church, have not risen up to where we want us to be. Father, please forgive us. Lord, by your mercy, your wonderful, your amazing grace, would you look down from heaven? Would you put a new spirit in us? Would you raise us up that your church may go forth in the way that you intended it to be? Lord, that the men will rise up and lead and pray and direct and take responsibility and go forward in your purposes. Lord, help us to repeat with Joshua, as for me and my house, we will do the work of the Lord. I wonder if the ladies would pray for us. Do sit down. Would one or two ladies like to pray for your men?
Father God, I want to begin by saying thank you to you for my husband, for Jeff and his faithfulness and his integrity of heart before you, for his faithfulness and commitment to your word, and for serving as a pastor in our local church. I thank you that his heart is sold out to you, and he's never shy of admitting his fault before your people. I thank you for the love and esteem in which he is held. Father, I thank you for every man here who knows you, who worships you, who is the head of his household, and I pray that you will give him courage and faithfulness in the times ahead. And Lord, I know we're praying about the men, but I pray that as women, we will allow our men to be men. And Father, Women's Lib has done nothing for women. It's insidious that it's taken away our men. And we see so many young men struggling, Father. Father, I just want to pray about our own fellowship and the fact that you showed me every single person represented there who has a son, and every single family in our own fellowship has problems because of their sons. Lord, three of them have bipolar. Two of them have been on suicide watch. And one of them has psychopathic depression. Father, some of them have made a commitment to you and have fallen away because of disappointment in their local churches. And they blame men and they do not see you. Others just do not acknowledge you as their Lord and Saviour. And Lord, you showed me a boa constrictor squeezing the life out of your people on account of their broken. Their broken. Lord, will you please break whatever needs to be broken in the lives of these young men, that they would be restored to you? And will you please honour the prayers of your saints as they bring their loved ones before you? If we're moved with compassion to pray, how much more your heart towards your sons, Father? So we lift them up before you. And Lord, I just want to lift up all of our young men that do know you, who try and walk in faith before you in a corrupt generation. Lord, will you preserve them? Will you keep them, Lord, that they may walk in uprightness of heart before you and be the men that you always destined them to be? For the sake of your glory, and in the precious name of Jesus, Yeshua, our Lord, we ask it. Amen.
I just feel too that it's, I know there are a lot of people here, or a number of people here, who either have maybe sons or husbands that don't know Jesus, that haven't committed their lives to the Lord. And maybe it's now a time that we can lift each and every one to Jesus. Those that have fallen back, those that don't know Jesus. And Father, I just want to say as a woman that on behalf of women, I am so sorry. But there are times when we do not allow our men to stand up. Father, forgive us. And Father, I just right now, I want to pray for every son, every husband, every brother of those that are in this room or people that we know. Father, we pray for your mercy. Oh God, we cry out for your salvation mercy, Father. Father, break through as wives of those that are not, of husbands that are not yet saved. Father, give us wisdom. Show us how to pray. Show us what is on your heart. Oh God, we need you. We need our men to rise up. Father, raise them up. Father, answer the prayer. of those, the prayers that are on the hearts of these people in this place, and this anyone who would like to pray, like to have the microphone and pray, please do, for your men.
Father, in the precious name of Jesus, we admit before you that while the church has been sleeping, evil has come in like a flood. And our country is under the control of the evil one. You are sovereign, you're ruling. There is no possibility that anyone else is on the throne. But we have, as a nation, been given over. And Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you that you have called us to take a stand against principalities and powers, rulers of wickedness in the heavenly realms. And Father, in Jesus' name, and by his mighty name, his power, the victory of his cross, we stand in Jesus' name with no strength of our own, but only yours. We stand in your mighty strength against the witchcraft that has turned things upside down since the Garden of Eden, exalted the woman over the man, caused the man to take a lead that he wasn't supposed to take. The Freemasonry that claims to illuminate the men and leaves them in greater darkness than their wives. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we come against this gross wickedness, and we ask through Jesus Christ, our King and Lord, that you would give us confidence, Lord, that in these days, hell will tremble as your people are at prayer. Living God, you are God and King, and your beautiful order for men and women is such an honor to your name. The feminists detest the fact that Paul said, wives, submit to your husbands. And if they would only just read on, they would discover that you also say, husbands, be prepared to die for your wives as Christ gave up his life for the church to present her spotless. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we confess that we ourselves as men have been complicit in this upside downness. We have produced a society that for many generations was so chauvinist that women had no recognition whatsoever. And so we gave the ammunition to feminism, and it took it and created such a hideous distortion. But Father, we bless and praise you that your exaltation of man is through humility, and your exaltation of woman is through humility. And we only have authority when we're under your authority, and we can only have dominion when you are on the throne. So, living God, in Jesus' name, hear our cry as we agree with your word that Christ is the head of the man as the man is the head of woman. This is your way, Lord. This is what we commit ourselves to. And we ask in Jesus' name, Lord, bring the men to their proper places and bring the women to the place where they are rescued from having to behave like pseudo-men because the men are not where they belong. Father, help us in Jesus' name. Amen.
My prayer will be very quick. I'm not eloquent at prayer. But, Father, I want to thank you for all the men who are here. They have made the effort. They are serious in wanting to go further with you. I've heard the negative things. I know about them. But I want to pray words of encouragement to you men. You have stood. Father, help them to stand the ground. Father, complete the good work that you have begun in them. Thank you, Lord. These are men of courage and of vision and of faithfulness. Lord, increase all those qualities in them. And for those who have prayed that really serious prayer, I pray your special protection over them, that they will have courage when the time comes. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Thank you so much. Thank you. This is, we're running out of time. This is very quick.
I just want to, I'm a single woman, and I'm sure that obviously there are other single women here. And it's been difficult over years to see how the church has been divided and how men have not stood sometimes. And I want to say, as sometimes I have not been submitted enough, and I want to ask the Lord's forgiveness for that. But I also want to say, as a single woman, that I want to ask the Lord to bless and encourage you, men, in the days ahead. Please, please, take this opportunity and stand with us, because we so desperately, desperately need you. We can't do it as women alone. We can't. We're not intended to. So we ask that as you go from here, the Lord will just strengthen you, and that he'll bring so many more men along so that we can work together as the Lord intended us to. Amen.
Bless you, Anita. Thank you.
Just the last words of Moses.
Say?
The last words of Moses in his song, he said, ascribe greatness to our God the Rock. His works are perfect and all his ways are just. A God of faithfulness without injustice, good and upright is he. Lord, may we have more Moses in the church. Lord God. Amen.
Some people don't need microphones. Okay, yeah, all right, thank you. Listen, I think this has been a really powerful time. Powerful time of prayer. Thank you, David. Thank you all. Great. Okay, listen, thank you all for coming. Thank you all for your contributions. Plenty, many. I think it's been a brilliant time. Go from here, serve the Lord with much more gusto than you had when you came. Hey? And I hope to see you all in my part of the world in October. That'll be good. Sit home where it all happens. Okay, I think it's time for lunch. But before we go, Kayla is going to bless us with the Aaronic blessing, aren't you? Aren't you? The correct answer, yes.
Can you hold it for me? Because I need to put my hands down.
Oh, of course.
Cool. Oh, praise the Lord. Yavarechecha Adonai vayishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panavelecha vichunecha. Ya'er Adonai panavelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord will bless you and the Lord will keep you. He'll make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you, and the Lord will give you his shalom, nothing lacking, nothing missing, his wholeness, his completeness, in Yeshua's mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. And may your guardian angels be hard at work as you go back home so you get there safely. Bless you, and see you next time.